بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We continue إن شاء الله باب صفة الصلاة. Chapter The Description of Prayer. يقول رحمة الله عليه: وإذا قام إلى الصلاة قال الله أكبر. So when he starts the salat, he said, if he stands in prayer, he says Allahu Akbar. So when he stands to the salat, he says Allahu Akbar. The meaning of Allahu Akbar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greater than everything in himself, in his names and in his attributes, and also in his, in everything that this word can carry. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ مَطْوِيَّاتٌ بِيَمِينِهِ. And they haven't estimated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a right estimation, and the earth, all of it, in his hand on the day of judgment. So it is called Allahu Akbar takbiratul ihram. What does it mean? That means when you start the salat, whatever was halal for you before the salat becomes haram for you after the salat. Meaning eating and drinking is halal for you before the salat, but after you make takbirat al-ihram, it becomes haram for you to eat and drink. Same thing talking. As also the state of ihram when you enter in hajj, called haram, state of ihram, because whatever was halal becomes haram for you at the time of ihram. Tayyib, as it is specified. Also, what is the dalil? The dalil for takbirat al-ihram, that it has been narrated from the saying of the Prophet ﷺ and from his actions, and the adilla are many on this. Also, you can find it in al-Bukhari and Muslim, in al-hadith of al-Musi' in his prayer, the one who did not pray properly, al-Musi'u. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in another hadith, he said, مُفْتَاحُ الصَّلَاةِ الطَّهُورِ, the key of the salat is to be on a state of purity, وَتَحْرِيمُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ, and the tahrim of it, the stara of it, the state of ihram of the salat is the takbir, and وَتَحْلِيلُهَا التَّسْلِيمُ, and when you finish off it, that brings you back to the state of hil, is the taslim. طيب, and so on, the hadith are many. He said, يَجْهَرُ بِهَا, the imam says it loud as well as the rest of the takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, so who is praying behind him can hear. So here, يَجْهَرُ بِهَا, meaning he says Allahu Akbar loud, al-imam, and also in the rest of the takbir, so the one behind him can hear him. And also this is the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيُخْفِيهِ غَيْرُهُ, and everyone else says it quietly. So everyone else must say this quietly, must say it quietly. Meaning if you're praying by yourself and you're not an imam, you do not raise the takbir. And also you do not raise your voice with the takbir. And also if you're standing behind the imam, you should not raise your voice with the takbir. You should not raise your voice with the takbir. وَيُخْفِيهِ غَيْرُهُ, everyone else says it quietly. So the one behind the imam says it, but quietly. Says it quietly. And also if you're praying munfaridan by yourself, you do not raise your voice with the takbirat al-ihram. Then he said, وَيَرْفَعُ يَدَيْهِ عِنْدَ ابْتِدَاءَ التَّكْبِيرِ إِلَى حَذْوِ مَنْكِبَيْهِ أَوْ إِلَى فُرُوعِ أُذُنَيْهِ. He says, then he then raises both hands when saying the takbir, level with his shoulder or level with his ear lobes. What happens here? So when you raise your hand, you raise it either level to your shoulders or level to your earlobes. That's how it is. So the top of your fingers, the tip of your fingers, is level with the tip of your earlobe. طيب, and You raise it, Allahu Akbar. So at the top of your ear, from the top above, straight with your tip of your fingers, you raise it there or down to your shoulders. Allahu Akbar. And you raise it like that with the takbir. Also, this has been narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. An Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام للصلاة رفع يديه حتى تكون حذو منكبيه ثم كبر ثم فإذا أراد أن يركع فعل مثل ذلك وإذا رفع من الركوع فعل مثل ذلك ولا يفعل ذلك في السجود. Al-Bukhari and Muslim narrated that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, I saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he stands up for the salat, he raises his hand until they are level with mankibay. Mankibay means his shoulders. Then he says, Allahu Akbar. And then when he wants to bow, he does the same thing. And when he raises from bowing, he does the same thing. And he does not do this in his prostration. That is, as we said, in Bukhari and Muslim. As for raising the hand to the earlobe, he said here, also Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwayrith radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa kana idha kabbara rafa'a yadayhi hatta yuhadhi bihima udhunayhi wa idha raka'a rafa'a yadayhi hatta yuhadhi bihima udhunayhi thumma وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ فَقَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ فَعَذَا مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Malik ibn al-Huwayrith narrated in a hadith that is collected in Bukhari and Muslim that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to make takbir, he raises his hands until they are level with his ears, and when he bows, he raises his hands at the same level of his ears, and when he raises his head from bowing, he says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, and he does like that. And then he said, وَيَجْعَلُهُمَا تَحْتَ سِرَّتِهِ, and he puts them under his, then he places his hands under his navel. Here, مَذْهَبُ الْحَنَابِلَ is to put the hands under the navel, under the navel. I have 3 points I want to talk to you about. The first point is putting the hand, the place of the hand. The second, or the first point is grabbing the left with the right hand. The second point, where do we put the hand? Do we put them both on the chest or between the belly and the chest or under the navel? So, the 3 points are, first, grabbing the left hand with the right hand. Second, the place where we put the hands. Is it under the navel or between the navel and the chest or on the chest? The third point about the issue of putting the hands on the side in the salat, all of it, as the Shia and some Malikiya do. We start for the first one, which is grabbing or holding the left with the right hand, meaning to put the right hand over the left hand. Of course, there are so many ahadith to support this, which is a grabbing the left hand with the right hand. And as Shawkani mentioned in Asail al-Jarrar, he said the ahadith about this action is mutawatir. That means it is multiply narrated. And it was narrated by so many ulama. Ibn Abd al-Barr, one of the greatest scholars of hadith, he mentioned in the Tamheed, he said there is 6 ahadith marfu'a fil qabd. There are 6 ahadith all the way to the Prophet ﷺ in the issue of al-qabd. Al-qabd means grabbing the left with the right hand. A hadith in Bukhari عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه قال كان الناس يؤمرون أن يضع الرجل اليد اليمنى على ذراعه اليسرى في الصلاة. So here he said, عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه قال كان الناس يؤمرون أن يضع الرجل اليد اليمنى على ذراعه اليسرى في الصلاة. Here the Bukhari narrated from Sahl bin Sa'd رضي الله عنه, he said the people were ordered that the man puts his right hand on the lower part of the arm, the forearm. He said in the salat. Ibn Hajar رحمة الله عليه commented on this hadith and said أبهم موضعه من الذراع. He said in this hadith there was not clear where in the lower arm you should put your hand, but in another hadith, with this hadith Wa'il narrated by Abi Dawood and An-Nasa'i, he said ثم وضع يده اليمنى على ظهر كفه والرسغ والساعد وصححه ابن خزيمة. This hadith صححه ابن خزيمة. He said he put his hand, the right hand, on the top, on the back of the left hand, and the rusgh and the sa'id. A rusgh is the joint between your hand and your forearm, and the sa'id is the forearm. So he said in the hadith, he said to put the hand, your right hand, over the back of your left hand, and you grab the rusgh and the sa'id. The rusgh is the wrist and the sa'id is the forearm. So you're actually grabbing three places. You're grabbing the back of your left hand, you're grabbing your wrist, and you're grabbing the sa'id. And that is how you hold your hands. Of course, now, where do you put it? Where exactly the hand supposed to sit? Now, this issue, as we said, a major difference of opinion that we see amongst the ulama. Now you have to remember that there is one hadith, you have to know that there is one hadith that is narrated from Ali radiyallahu anhu. He said anna min as-sunnati fi as-salati wad'u al-akuffi 'ala al-akuffi tahta as-surra. It is from the sunnah in the salat to put the hands on top of the hands under the navel, and this hadith is munkar, meaning it cannot be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is not from the sunnah. This hadith is munkar, that means it is very, very weak, and it is not لا يثبت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that it, we cannot attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the hadith is very weak, and it has, and many ulama has mentioned so. Now what we have another opinion that said we must put the hand on the chest, or the sunnah is to put them on the chest. Now this here, it is being narrated, the three ahadith and athar an Ali. Three ahadith and athar an Ali. Athar mean that Ali radiyallahu anhu said it, or he did it himself. Now what it's been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what's been narrated, this three ahadith, all of them are weak. All of them are weak. Which is been narrated from Wa'il bin Hijr. Wa'il bin Hijr, this, and there is adding in that, which he says, ala sadrihi. So the hadith goes like this. Qala, yani in Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, an Wa'il ibn Hijr, قال صليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فوضع يده اليمنى على يده اليسرى على صدره. He said here, Wa'il ibn Hijr, he said قال صليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, I prayed with the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he put his right hand over the left hand on his sadr. Now this adding on this sadr, that a proportion, it's from the ziyadat, and this ziyada is a weak ziyada. This ala sadrihi is an adding that the ulama said it is weak. The narrator who narrated the hadith, his name Mu'ammal bin Ismail, he is the only one who added this adding. Yani some scholars, they have said over 15 Imam narrated this, and none of them narrated this adding, which is ala sadrihi. على صدره, which is like سفيان and Imam الشافعي, قتيبة بن سعيد, وكيع, and others who narrated this hadith, which is all a great imams, trustworthy thiqat, 15 of them, they did not narrate ala sadrihi, but except him, he narrated it, so the ulama weakened this adding. You have here a narration that is the first one, which is what is being narrated in Ibn Khuzaymah, which is, it has mu'ammal in it. You have another one narrated by Imam Ahmad, عن يحيى القطان, عن سفيان, عن سماك, عن قبيصة بن هلب, عن أبيه. Also this قبيصة is weak, and the ulama said مجهول about him. So that's the second hadith. As the third one, which is مرسل from طاووس, mean طاووس narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, collected by Abu Dawood, also it is weak, but it can be lifted to the level of Hassan, as some ulama said. And the last one is what it's been narrated from Ali radiyallahu anhu, and the ulama like Ibn Kathir and others said there is two men in this, which is the ulama, they said they're not trustworthy, and they said it's sanad and it's matan is muttarib. And also Ibn Kathir said it cannot be authentic. It is لا يصح. So we see the collection of all the ahadith and athar and mursal, hardly any one of them can be considered hasan. And if we collect them, all of them, we cannot consider them as hasan, because all of them at the level of shudud. And the ulama, they say, يعني the two ahadith, which is the one narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah and Imam Ahmad, they have shudud in them. Meaning you cannot use them to lift the level of the hadith and make it hasan. And also, athar Ali, what is being narrated from Ali radiallahu anhu, also there is da'if. And the other one is mursal. So we conclude that to say putting the hand on the chest is confirmed sunnah, that is wrong. Since there is nothing authentic to say where is the place of the hand, then it can be put either on the chest, on the stomach area, or above the navel, or under the navel. Any of those places are correct, as long as he grabs the left hand with the right hand. Because there is nothing authentic to prove anything in where specifically the person should place his hands. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayh, in his book Bada'i' al-Fawaid, said it is makruh to put the hand on as-sadr, on the chest area, because he weakened this ziyada, this adding in the hadith. As now, the third point, which is isbalul yadaini fi salat. Isbal mean to release your hands on your sides in the salat. Of course, as we have proven that the ahadith are enormous and mutawatir about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam grabbing the left with the right, that means it goes against the sunnah, the mutawatir sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to release the hands on the side. It is mutawatir, as the Shawkani mentioned in the Sayl al-Jarrar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to grab the left hand with the right hand. Ibn Abd al-Barr, one of the ulama who took real great care of Muwatta Imam Malik in the Maliki Madhab, and he took a great care of it. He authored two main books, and both of these books to do with commentary on Muwatta Imam Malik. One book, it's called At-Tamhid. At-Tamhid, it's a book that he worked on the sanad of the hadith. The narration of the hadith. And Al-Istidhkar is to work with the matan of the hadith, the text of the hadith. He mentioned in At-Tamhid that there are six ahadith marfu'a fil qabd. There are six ahadith connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the issue of qabd, grabbing the left with the right. Then he said, لم تختلف الآثار عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في هذا الباب. All the narration from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they haven't differed in this chapter. And he said, ولا أعلم عن أحد من الصحابة في ذلك خلافة. And I do not know any difference of opinion from the companions about this. And then he said, إلا شيء روي عن ابن الزبير. It's only something been narrated from ابن الزبير رضي الله عنه, which is Abdullah ibn Zubair, أنه كان يرسل يديه إذا صلى, that he used to release his hand, إرسال اليدين إذا صلى, وقد روي عنه خلافه. Also another narrations came opposing to that. وعلى هذا, and based on this, جمهور التابعين وأكثر فقهاء المسلمين من أهل الرأي والأثر. He said, based on this, the majority of the tabi'een and the most of the fuqaha from the Muslims and the people of al-ra'i and al-athar. And then he said, وَقَدْ يُرْسِلُ الْعَالِمِ. He said, because it is being narrated that Imam Malik at times and not all the times used to release his hand in the salat. He said here, وَقَدْ يُرْسِلُ الْعَالِمِ, meaning ابن عبد البر, وقد يرسل العالم يديه ليرى الناس أنه ليس ذلك بحتم واجب. That sometimes a scholar releases his hand in the salat, so the people who are following him to see that you do not have to, it is not from the pillars of the salat. يعني your salat would not become void if you release your hand in the salat. So the alim is showing you that it is not an obligation in the salat nor a pillar. It's a sunnah in the salat to grab the left with the right hand. Here he said, لو ثبت ذلك ما كانت فيه حجة. And even if this affirm from Imam Malik or from the alim who does that, it is not proof. يعني the action of a scholar is not a proof. لأن الحجة في السنة لمن اتبعها. The hujjah is in the sunnah for the one who follows it. يعني if someone want to follow the sunnah, then this is the hujjah. The hujjah is in the sunnah and what's been narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The action of the scholar is not a sunnah. وَمَنْ خَالَفَهَا فَهُوَ مَحْجُوجٌ بِهَا. And whomever opposes the sunnah is a hujjah, a proof against him. Then he said, وَلَا سِيَّمَا سُنَّةٌ لَمْ يَثْبُتْ عَنْ وَاحِدٌ وَلَا سِيَّمَا سُنَّةٌ لَمْ يَثْبُتْ عَنْ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ خِلَافُهَا. He said, and especially a sunnah that we don't even have one companion from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who opposed it. So we see the companions, all of them. We see now all the ahadith and all the companions, all of them used to grab their hands. And what being narrated through the narration of Ibn al-Qasim an Malik, Ibn al-Qasim an Malik, that he used to do it in the nawafil fi tul al-qiyam. That Malik sometimes in qiyam al-layl, because he used to pray for a very long time and get tired, he used to release it. So it's not even in obligatory salat. In obligatory salat. And this is, wallahu a'lam, this is in summary about this issue. Then he said, وَيَجْعَلُ بَصَرَهُ إِلَى مَوْضِعِ سُجُودِهِ. He should place his vision at the place of prostration. So here he said, he should place his vision at the place of prostration. So, where do you look when you're standing in the salat? He said, in the same place where you prostrate. It has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some ahadith, some of it are weak. But there is one hadith that can be raised to the level of Hassan. There are many ahadith that are narrated عن أبي قلابة. أبي قلابة narrated from 10 companions and it has some weaknesses in it also. Plus, a hadith that is narrated from Aisha radiyallahu anha. She said, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, دخل رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam الكعبة وما خلف بصره موضع سجوده حتى خرج منها. He entered sallallahu alayhi wa sallam الكعبة and his sight or his eyes, they remained at the place of the sujood all the time until he got out from it. So he was praying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside the Kaaba and his eyes were looking down at his place of sujood. Now this hadith, Shaykh al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi said he's sahih, and preceded him also al-Hakim and al-Dhahabi and some other ulama. They said it is da'if, this hadith. But generally, all these ahadith, plus some other narrations from the tabi'een, what they said, like Ibn Sirin, he said, rahmatullahi alayhi, أنه كان يحب أن يضع الرجل بصره حذاء موضع سجوده. حذاء موضع سجوده. Ibn Sirin, he used to love that a man, he places his sight at the place of his sujood, and majority of the ulama upon that opinion, Ahnaf and the Shafi'iyya and Imam Ahmad, and here as we see Ibn Qudama, so this is the place. Now another issue comes, can I close my eyes in the Salat for the sake of concentration? Of course, there in regard of this issue, there is nothing a specific dalil in the Sunnah, but the collection of the ahadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to pray whilst his eyes are open. In the hadith when Abu Jahm, he gave the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam khamisa shamiyya. Khamisa shamiyya mean a cloth, a piece of cloth from the Sham, and it has a alam, has laha alam, has marks in it. So فشاهد فيها الصلاة فلما انصرف كغل ردي هذه الخميصة إلى أبي جهم فإني نظرت إلى علمها في الصلاة فكاد يفتنني. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to Aisha when he was praying in it. He said when he finished, he said, give this خميصة to أبي جهم. I was looking at the marking in the Salat and was about taftinni, mean distract me from the Salat. So this proves that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, used to open his eyes. And also previously, as we said prior, that you have to put your nazar, your sight, towards the place of sujood. So your nazar means you are looking at the place of sujood. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi said, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ هَدْيُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ تَغْمِيدُ عَيْنَيْهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He said, and it wasn't the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ to close his eyes in the Salat, and Imam Ahmad and others disliked it. Also, so we understand that generally it is disliked to close the eyes in the Salat. But if there is a need, for example, you're praying in a place where there is kids playing, or noises are happening, or there are some colors in front of you, or a woman walking and you're fearing that you would look at her, or any of that, or sometimes you need to concentrate in the Salat, especially if you're reciting the Quran, then generally it is allowed. But the basic principle about this issue, it is makruh. Then here he said, ثم يقول سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك. He said, then you say سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. What does it mean? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. سبحانك mean exalted is Allah, free from any faults, free from any deficiency, free from any mistakes. Subhanak, that mean you are saying unazzihuka ya Allah. Oh Allah, I exalt you from anything that is wrong, a deficiency, mistakes, and so on. Wa bihamdik, praise be to you. Praise be to you, thana. Or you or another group of ulama, they said that I am at the moment at the state of Hamad. يعني my status at the moment, I'm praising you, O Allah, which is the Salat. So there is no opinions about this. وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ. Tabarak means, the word baraka means increase of goodness and the continuity of goodness. And here, the meaning here, your name is the reason of bringing baraka in my life. And it's one of the ways I can seek baraka in my life and increase in my life through your name, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ means your honor and your grace is high and above. Subhanallah. And he is high and above, and his grace is high and above than everyone who is below him. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ, and there is no deity beside you. There is, in some narrations came, وَجَلَّ ثَنَاؤُكَ. Jalla thana'uk. This is actually ziyada da'ifa, and here Ibn Qudama rahmatullahi alayh, he did not mention that. Of course, this has been narrated يعني in Tabarani, in Hasan Isnad, and the ulama have recommended this. Also, some ulama, they said you can open with any of the openers, any of the ad'iyah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua with. Take for example, وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and so on. Many. As I told you previously, that anything is mentioned, any sunnah that is performed in different ways, then the sunnah is to perform it in different ways. So the recommended act is to memorize as much as you can from these openers, and then from these supplications openers, and then practice them and say them at different times. Then he said, ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. He says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek refuge in Allah from the cursed shaitan. يعني I am seeking refuge in Allah away from the shaitan. And the dalil here, I am seeking refuge in Allah from the shaitan. The dalil here is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Surah An-Nahl, verse 98. When you read the Quran, seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan al-rajim. Of course, this is clear that you start, especially you're starting to read the Fatiha. Then you start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are going to read the Fatiha. Since you are going to read the Fatiha, then you start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now, whether the Fatiha or whether Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim an ayah from the Fatiha or not, this is a debate amongst the scholars. This is a debate amongst the scholars that if is it an ayah from the Fatiha or not. Imam Ahmad, his opinion that it is not ayah from the Fatiha. Once we were sitting in the gathering of Sheikh Nasir al-Umar hafizahullah, and he said this, he quoted this. He said, why are we differing? If Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was an ayah from the Fatiha, that means it is an ayah from the Quran. And if it is an ayah from the Quran, it should be no differences of opinion about it, because the Quran, with consensus, every ayah from it is from the Quran. So we shouldn't differ. So because that means the existence of the difference of opinion is a proof that it is not ayah from the Fatiha. And this is, subhanAllah, something, yani, the Sheikh said, and stuck in my mind. Regardless of this, you need to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And I teach you this golden rule. If the scholars differed in something and there is no clear proof to tip the scale, then the best opinion is the opinion that takes you away from the differences of opinion amongst the scholars. So you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim regardless. You say it regardless, and he said rahmatullahi alayh, وَلَا يَجْهَرُ بِشَيْءٍ مِّن ذَلِكَ. He should not say any of these out loud, meaning Dua al-Istiftah, the opener, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم and بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All of these, you do not raise your voice with them. Why? Because, as he said, لقول أنس صليت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان فلم أسمع أحدا منهم يجهر ببسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أنس said, I prayed behind the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, and I never heard any of them say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim out loud, collected by Bukhari and Muslim. So praying behind, Anas said, I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, and none of them said it loud. So their sunnah is sufficing for us. This will be sufficing for us as a dalil, and we should not say any of those three loud. And next week, inshallah, we continue. ثُمَّ يَقْرَأُ الْفَاتِحَةِ وَلَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِهَا. Then he reads the Fatiha, and there is no salat for the one who does not read that aloud. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.